If you're a bit older and you think your faith is a bit stagnant, that's bad news. But we'll find encouragement today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, we want to talk today about a man who was an octogenarian. He was 85 years old. He had a zest for life. He had an excitement about the future. He was raring to go. His name is Caleb. He's a man who has a heart full of faith. His faith on the gauge of full and empty is on full. And he can teach us so much about how to age God's way.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today as we begin to wind down to the end of Pastor Jeff's new 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge. But the messages are getting better and better, and today is an example of that. It's called Faith on Full. You see, Caleb was a man of great faith who believed God when most others didn't. He was greatly blessed for his steadfastness and courage. But he was no spring chicken. Today, Pastor Jeff shares wonderful insights from the life of this faithful servant of the Lord that will encourage you and help reignite your passion for the things that really matter. His name is Jesus. Now, this is the 9th of 10 messages that we're airing this month from this series. And if you missed any, you can listen again to any broadcast and download a free MP3 of that broadcast when you go to fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. Also there, you can download the free sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff on each message. Open your Bible, if you can now, to the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us the power that we can have when we possess a faith on full.
The scripture says about Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, "Then the sons of Judah," the tribe of Judah, of which Caleb was a part, "drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Kadesh Barnea was the launching point for the spies to go out the first time under Moses. "He said, 'I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, the 10 faithless spies, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke the word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I'm 85 years old today." Happy birthday to Caleb. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country. Give me this mountain about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there." The Anakim were the giants, "with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now, the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb is such a great example to you and to me of how to age God's way, of how to be God's man, God's woman, God's boy, God's girl, and meet the challenges of the day with confidence, with strength, with joy, and with gladness. So the question is this: What can we learn from Caleb and apply to our own lives so that it would make a difference for us today? I want to share with you three exhortations from this passage that we just read. Exhortation number one, we can do what Caleb did and follow the Lord fully. We can make that decision like he made to follow the Lord fully. Now it says in those verses in chapter 14, three times that he followed the Lord fully. It says three other times in the scripture that he followed the Lord fully. Moses pointed out that he followed the Lord fully. So when we read about Caleb, we read six times in the Old Testament, he followed the Lord fully. He was all in. He wasn't partly in. He didn't sing, I surrender some. He didn't sing, I surrender most. He sang, I surrender all. And he followed the Lord with all his heart. You know, when we look at the New Testament and we see what does it mean to be a disciple, we read these words that every true believer, the scripture teaches, every true believer is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what Jesus would say. And it's recorded 18 times in the Gospels. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. It's an invitation. It's a command. It's an imperative. Hey, if you want to have eternal life, follow me. He said to Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You can't be a Christian and not follow the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So if you're a true sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that that says about you is you're someone who's following Jesus, because Jesus said that's what his sheep do. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him, first of all, deny himself. Deny himself. Not my will, but thine be done. Take up his cross, die to yourself, and follow me. So if I say, well, I don't want to do any of those things, Lord, he says, okay, but then you can't follow me. And you're not going to be one of my own, because my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Caleb followed the Lord, but he didn't follow the Lord half-heartedly. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So every true believer is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every true believer needs to follow completely, follow fully, with all his heart, with all her heart. And that's the thing that separates Caleb from the rest of the Israelites. The other Israelites could say, well, I'm a follower of the Lord, but they couldn't necessarily say, I follow the Lord my God fully. Fully. They're like so many of us. We follow, but we're not following fully. We've surrendered, but we're still kind of holding on to the things of this world. Caleb had let go of the things of this world, and he was all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we would say in New Testament terms, he was all in for Yahweh, the Lord God. So the question is this, how about you? How about you? Would you describe yourself as someone who follows the Lord fully, completely, with all your heart? You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is looking today to see whose heart will be yielded completely to me, because I'm going to strongly support that person. God has, I've heard this said and it's so true, God has no favorites, but he does have intimates. Do you want to be an intimate with God? The invitation is open. Follow me. And follow me with all your heart, and you can be an intimate of mine. The statement that made such a difference in the life of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his generation in the 1800s. Dwight L. Moody was a shoe clerk, an uneducated shoe clerk, and a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball, witnessed to Dwight L. Moody in the back of the shoe store, led Moody to Christ. And God began a work in Dwight L. Moody's heart. Dwight L. Moody, early in his ministry, traveled to England. And when he was in England, he heard from a preacher named Henry Varley. And Henry Varley said these words, or later he said, I don't remember saying those words, but Moody heard these words. The world has yet to see what God will do in, with, and through a man who is fully surrendered and consecrated to the Lord. And Moody, when he heard that, it was just like a thunderbolt went off and in his mind and in his heart. And he said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And he yielded himself fully to the Lord. And God used Dwight L. Moody, a guy who dropped out of school when he was 13 years old, uneducated, unsophisticated, uncultured, unlearned. And God used that man to shake two continents for Jesus Christ. God made a world evangelist out of Dwight L. Moody's. Why? Because he was fully yielded to the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord fully. You can do what he can do. He made that decision. You can make that decision. Second exhortation. Not only can we do what he did and follow the Lord fully, but you and I can do what he did and cling to God's promises tightly. Tightly. Now, here is Caleb's story. He says to him, Joshua, he comes before him. He's a Kenizzite. Now, remember this. The Kenizzites were descendants of Esau. That's why it says he's Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. He's not an Israelite per se. He's designated as a Kenizzite, but the Bible scholars say the Kenizzites kind of got adopted in to the tribe of Judah. And some have postulated that perhaps Caleb's mother was from the tribe of Judah, and she married Jephunneh, and so together he is a Kenizzite, yes, but then half of his blood would be a descendant of Jacob, because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The faith is from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau, it's Jacob. And so here is this guy, Caleb, and he goes out to spy the land 45 years previous when Moses sent him out, and he gives a good report when the other guys gave a bad report. And when God pronounces judgment and says, hey, you guys aren't going in the land because you're not trusting me. And the 10 faithless spies, there was a plague from the Lord and they died. But God pointed out that Caleb, because he followed the Lord fully, because there was a different spirit in Caleb, Numbers chapter 14, that he was going to give Caleb this land called Hebron as an inheritance. And that was a promise from God through Moses to Caleb. He says to him in verse 9, he said, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I'm 85 years old. And then in verse 12, now then give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. God said this to me. God promised this to me through Moses. And he had been clinging to that promise for 45 years. Wow. Wow. Hey, we just sang the Lord our God is ever faithful. His promises come true in his timing. And so here is Caleb following the Lord fully with a promise from God, clinging to that promise, saying, this is going to come to pass. I don't know when, but I am trusting God for him to bring this to pass in my life. You say, well, that's Caleb. I mean, he had a promise directly from God through Moses to him. Well, sure, he could trust in that. He could believe in that. But Jeff, I don't have a promise like that. Yes, you do. You know, this book that we preach from, this book that we read, the Bible, it's a book of divine promises. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he told the people to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, he said, for the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. The promise is for you. And God's book is a book of promises. And you and I can believe those promises, or we can disbelieve those promises, disregard those promises. Remember this about the promises of God. They're conditional promises, conditional promises. Just as Jesus said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, roll away the stone. Lord, I don't want to roll away the stone, she said. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Roll away the stone. It's a conditional promise. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God, and if you don't, you won't. If you turn from sin and receive Christ as Savior and Lord, you'll be saved, and if you don't, you won't. Jesus said, unless you believe I am He, you will all die in your sins. If you don't do anything with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins. They're conditional promises, and the Bible is full of them. If you will trust, if you will believe Him, if you'll walk in faith, you'll experience His power. Now, how does the Bible make a difference? The promises of God, how do they make a difference in life? They make a difference when your heart is a heart of good soil. In Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, we read the parable of the sower and the seed, but it's really the parable of the four different types of soil. And Jesus told the parable, He said, a sower went out to sow, and he threw out the seed, and some seed fell on the road, the hard pan, and the birds came and scooped it up. And he said, some seed fell on the shallow soil, and some seed fell on the weedy soil, and some seed fell on the good soil. Now, when he was interpreting the parable, he said, the sower is the Son of God. The seed is the Word of God. The soil represents the hearts of men. Now, some people have hard hearts, like that hard pan, like that road, that pathway. It's just hard, and it's been trodden on, and it's packed down. And when the seed hits it, it has nowhere to go. It can't penetrate because it's hard like concrete. And so it just lays on the top, and the birds come and take it away. Some of you have a heart like that. Your heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And when you hear the word preached, when you read the word, it doesn't penetrate your heart. It just lays there, and then the devil comes and takes it away, and you can't remember what you heard. Some people have a shallow heart. He talked about the seed that falls on the shallow soil. And the shallow soil is good dirt, but it doesn't have any depth of dirt, and underneath it is limestone. And so when the seed goes, it goes down in, and it comes back up very quickly, but it can't sustain itself. It has no root system, and when the sun of persecution comes out, it withers and dies. That's the person who hears the word and responds to the word very emotionally. They haven't thought it through. They haven't counted the cost, and when persecution arises, they wither and die and say, I'm out of here. Then he talks about the seed that goes into crowded soil, the thorny soil, the weedy soil. And that's the person who has the cares of this world, and they get all mixed up. And this is the person, as Warren Wiersbe said, who's never truly repented. And they receive the word, but they're still holding on to the things of this world, and the things of this world choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Then he says that the word can fall in the good soil, in the prepared soil, in the plowed soil. And in Luke's gospel, the scripture says this, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. An honest and good heart. Caleb had an honest and good heart. He received the promises of God. He clung to the promises of God. Those worked in his heart. What kind of heart do you have? You say, well, Jeff, I want to have a good heart. I want to be somebody who receives the word. I don't want to have a shallow heart. I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to have a crowded heart with all these other things. But how do I get a good heart? You pray for it. Pray for it. God, give me a good heart so that your word would flourish in my life and grow 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. It says in 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. God wants you to have a good heart. So pray for a good heart. And it says in the book of Psalms, I will run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I pray that often. God, enlarge my heart. Give me more of a heart for you so that I'd be like a David, a man after your own heart. Hey, the Bible's a book of divine promises. It makes a difference in a heart of good soil, and God likes it when we remind him of his word. When we remind him what he promised. Now, here's Caleb. He's holding on to a promise he got 45 years ago. Don't you know every time he got a cold, he was reminding God, now, God, you said that I was going to inherit Hebron, that was my inheritance forever and for my descendants. And God, you promised. And so, God, I need you to keep me alive until that promise comes to fruition. He says that. He says that the Lord has kept him alive these 45 years, just as he spoke. He was clinging to the promise. We remind God of his word. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get a promise from the Lord and then remind the Lord, Lord, this is what you promised? When people are facing major difficulties, they've lost a loved one, or they're in the hospital with a loved one, or they're in the hospital for themselves. And every time that happens, then what happens? Fear comes into our hearts. We're waiting on test results. It could be the C word. It could be cancer. And we're afraid. You claim the promise of his peace. So Isaiah 26, verse 3, and you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's a promise from God. Lord, you said that if I would keep my mind on you, you would keep me in perfect peace. And God, I need your perfect peace. So I'm claiming this word that you said. I'm claiming your promise. We can claim the promise of his presence as believers in Jesus. Because the Lord said in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. Will the flame burn you? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I claim his peace. I can claim his presence. I can claim his provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, you promised that. If I was right with you, if I walk with you, that you would provide for me. And God, I'm holding you to your promise. Listen, that's not being irreverent. God likes it when we do that.
Yes, God always likes it when we stand on his promises and know that we know that he will always be faithful to those promises. Are you standing on those promises with faith that is full of trust and surrender and obedience and passion for the things of God? Today's message was the ninth in Pastor Jeff's new 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. We've been in this book all month long, and we're learning how to live triumphantly, even in the struggles that we face. And we're all enduring them now, especially in these pandemic days. It's a slow climb out. But God has promised that even when we are sailing on stormy seas, he promises a safe landing. And as we learn in this series, Moses is dead, and Joshua is now the new leader of Israel, and he's got to rise to the challenge as he trusts the Lord and walks by faith. Same is true for you and me. Now, this is a new and timely series from Pastor Jeff called Rising to the Challenge, and it's our thank you gift for your support of $50 or more to the ongoing outreach of From His Heart Ministries. It's available in the format of your choice, a USB flash drive, as an MP3 download, on CDs or DVDs. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Join us on Thursday as Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open up God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.